Okay, this is Wednesday evening, 6/5/24. It's not less than a month till July 4th. Yeah. All right, this is called the Can-Do Attitude. It's not going to be a long one, but encouraging. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11 through 13 there. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were all, you know what, I'm in three. Well, we had to get that out of the way. All right. 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, he's gone from one spectrum to the other. Content means self-complacent. Self-complacent. I looked it up in the dictionary. It just means unconcerned. So you're not thinking about yourself, your needs, your wants, your desires. You're just going to be happy wherever you're at, wherever you land. Be one of those persons that's not moved. All right. So to be content, you must be free from all concerns about yourself or your situation, right? Whatever you're facing. That seems to be probably for a Christian the most difficult thing to do. Okay. We're going to look at some more scriptures. 1 Peter 5. Starting with 6 there. It says to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So would you say humbling yourselves is casting care? Because you're thinking, God's going to take care of this, and I don't have to take care of it myself. Doesn't pride say I can do it better? Yeah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So when we step over into pride, we step over into his domain. He's the prideful one. All right? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not the only one. You're not like Elijah thinking he's the only one left, and God says, no, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But the God of all grace, who hath both called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Who likes to suffer? Nobody. But it's just part of Christian character. What does suffering do? It keeps your eye on who. What? Well, let's just say on the Lord, but it also keeps your focus on what matters. Yeah. Like it or not, you know, that's the way it is. Only the Lord knows. All right. We can't get away without reading Matthew 6. All right, let's go there. Y'all ought to know this. Y'all ought to probably quote it in your sleep. 6:24. That's what this is all about. Learning to walk this way and to let God handle it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You cannot do it in your flesh, in your worrying, in your fretting. Okay. Starting with 24 there. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when we're worrying, fretting about ourselves, we stepped over in mammon. That's the world's way. That's where Satan tempts you to be, that way. Keep you down, keep you upset, keep you worried, keep you fretting. Well, like Joyce Meyer used to say, well, the Lord told me I could be pitiful or powerful, but I can't be both. You can't teeter-totter. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. How many thoughts are we not supposed to take about our life? No thought at all. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Aren't most commercials about this? You taking care for your life. Behold the fowls of the air. Now we know whose media it is, right? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. The tail of vision. Yeah. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I would say so. Every once in a while I'll find a dead bird in the yard. I'm thinking, Lord, you took a thought about that, didn't you? That if that bird fell. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, oh, that's a double whammy. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, it amazes me sometimes when I'm in a place I'm just really needing to hear from God, he'll show me this about someone else needing something else. I'm thinking, what about me? I'm thinking, he must not think I really need anything. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. See, we talked about keeping, wasn't that last week? Today, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. I forget the title. It rhymed. What did I say? I'll think of it here in a minute. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't borrow from tomorrow. That was the title. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself, but it'll be today then. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So to take thought is evil. See, that's of that wicked one. That's why all programming, all commercials always seems to be something to cause you to think, oh my God, I better take care of that. Take care of that. Take care for that. That's the way all the mainstream media is all the same snake. It's the television. God says, I feed the birds. I'm going to take care of you. And then the TV says, nah, you better get down there and get that. You just don't know what, you know. It's the truth. The society is geared that way. How will we do that? How are we going to do that? Lord, help us to do that. What are we going to do when we've been geared our whole life to do just the opposite? Okay, go back to Philippians 4. Verse 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Who wants to rejoice when you're in a place where you're worried or you're stressed? It goes against the grain, doesn't it? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, see, it'll bypass that worried mind, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen and me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul starts out, we read in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He talks about being content. Right here, verse 11, now that I speak in the respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Now you know how he did it. All right, we must discipline ourselves to think about what we are thinking about. Many years ago, when I first started on TV, the Lord gave me that. It was one of the first, it was the first few programs that I did. In fact, you were with me there in Levelland. I think we did 5 programs that day, but that was one of them, about thinking about what you're thinking about. Sometimes we have to catch ourselves and say, oh no, I'm not going to go there. Oh no, I'm not going to let my mind wander there. Steal my joy, steal my peace. Yeah. Who is the supplier of whatever we need? The Lord. Okay. Philippians 4:19, this is a really good chapter here. 4:19. But my God shall supply how much of your need? All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, whatever you need, he says he will supply it. You can take that to the bank, God's bank, and expect to receive. All right, it's according to God's supply, his riches in glory, not your supply. I mean, he's the one that, what, owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills? He's not lacking. He can supply your need. Here's what supply means. To make replete, to cram a net, level up a hollow, to furnish or imbue, diffuse, influence, satisfy, execute, or verify. So it's not like going to the store and buying a box of cereal and you get home and it's only half full. Cramming up a hollow. Think about it. It's like it settles in shipment and they just push it down and they keep filling it. They push it down and keep filling it. Running over shall man give into your bosom. That's what the scripture says. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. What scripture is that?
Luke 6:38.
Well, I knew that, but anyway, let's look at it. I didn't put that one down, but that's good. I'm going to write that one. All has to do with our attitude Attitude determines altitude. You know, when you have a good day, usually you get out and you do something and you get everything off of your mind. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Yeah. All right, back to Philippians here. We just read 4:13. All right, we're going to read 13. It says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's 3 again. We're going back to, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can. You can do what God says you can do. Strengtheneth, right here, means to empower. You could say it's like calling upon the grace to do something that you can't normally do. But God's asking it of you, and he says, okay, I'm asking that of you, and I'm not asking you to do it in your own power or your own grace, but mine. Grace, out of the vines, is the power and equipment to do ministry. So whatever he's requiring you to do, he will supply the grace to do it. All right, now go to Ephesians. We're going to read a couple of the Ephesians. One's the Ephesian prayer and one's the Colossians prayer, but they're powerful. They fit right into this. Ephesians 3 is the first one. Starting with 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man. The Lord's had us talking about the inner man for a long time, the inner walk. That's where the power is, not in the outer, but the inner. There's not going to be a successful Christian that does not develop an inner life. It's just not going to happen. That's why you see people get born again, but they never do anything with it. And they never seem to make it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, what, Christ in you, the hope of glory? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. These are powerful prayers. And you know what? I believe Paul had the revelation to write them because he learned that. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 19 there. For it pleased the Father, am I right? Okay, no, I'm wrong. It's 9, not 19. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here we go again. It's about the inner life. It's spiritual understanding, not natural understanding. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. That's where we get our strength. It's not physical strength, it's inner strength in our spirit. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Yeah. If you don't read these, I encourage you to. There's a couple in Ephesians and this one in Colossians. All right, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says here, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be held to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So here Paul finds himself all by himself. But God saw him through. Because he walked from the inside, not by circumstances. If he walked by circumstances, I'm not going to list them tonight, but you know all the things he went through. And if he let that be his gauge, he'd have never made it. All right, I'm going to read to you a passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, just a few verses, not the whole chapter. David was a giant killer. How did he learn that? He learned to overcome by the Spirit of God. Okay, let's go over there and look. 1 Samuel 30. That's why he was probably the only king that was the most successful king. Most successful king. He missed it one time with Uriah the Hittite. I mean, he made other mistakes, but that was a pretty substantial mistake. 1 Samuel 30, start with verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive, their captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Even though they all wanted to stone him, he inquired of the Lord. He kept his wits about him. All right, we've got to be to the place that we keep our wits about us, that we are always clear to hear what the Lord's having to say about a situation. All right, a couple more scriptures, we'll be done. 1 Peter 1. Okay, verse 3. Get a drink. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's your mind. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that now unto themselves, but unto us as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Let me see. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, whom without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. All right, one more. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. Who's them? Anything that's not good. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Right here, I wrote this down. God's got this if we allow him to do so by keeping our cares cast, our thoughts on the goal before us. All right.